Hi, this is Jorginho. Welcome to this edition of the Arsenal Match Day audio program.
Arsenal versus Liverpool, Sunday, February the 4th, 2024. Kickoff, 4:30 p.m. The contents: captain's notes around Arsenal, player feature, Jurrien Timber, foundation voice, sustainability, community voice, my fave shirt, academy young gun, Timmy Davies, around the academy, women, visitors Liverpool, match action, Arsenal versus Crystal Palace, match action, Nottingham Forest versus Arsenal, and teams.
Martin Odegaard, captain's notes. We're really pleased with the last two games, 6 points and two strong performances. Now we want to carry that momentum on today against Liverpool. After the break, we came back with that big win over Crystal Palace, scoring 5 goals, keeping a clean sheet and having different scorers too. It was great. I think we needed that boost. We had a lot of people talking about us and how we'd done in front of goal. We always knew we had goals in the team, so it was nice to be able to show that. We were strong again from set pieces against Palace, which is really pleasing because we put a lot of work into that at the training ground. We have Nico Jova, the set-piece coach, who is brilliant and is always pushing us to have the mindset that we can score from every set-piece. We know we can win games on set-pieces. It's an important part of football, so we practice it a lot. There's a lot of games that are really tight and can be decided on these moments and small details. We spend time on it, but it's also about mindset and willingness to do it. When other teams know we can hurt them from set-pieces, then that can shape the way they play as well, and it's another string to how we play. It was great to see Gabby Martinelli with those 2 goals at the end against Palace too. Football is a lot about confidence, so when that first one arrives, it all becomes easier. The same for Leo as well. It was brilliant to see Gabby and Bukayo score against Forest too. So all the front players scored in the past couple of games. I feel like we have so many players who can score. It's not down to just one or two, and that's another strength we have. We needed that against Forest on Tuesday. It's a really tough place to go. We've experienced that the last few times there. We spoke about that a lot in the build-up, and it was part of our pre-match talk that we wanted to finally get that win there. There was a little more fire inside of us, because for any of the players who were there the last couple of times, it wasn't a nice experience. We had a point to prove there, and we were determined to get the win. In the first half, we controlled everything, but they defended well. I always had that feeling we would score, though, as long as we stayed patient, changed a few things and got sharper in some areas too. I played alongside Emil on Tuesday, and depending who plays there, my role changes a little bit. It's the same all over the pitch too. My role changes slightly if it's Eddie or Gabby up front, for example, or if Leo plays on the left. So you always have to adapt. The important thing is you understand each other well, and we have that from our training sessions and playing together for a long time now. We work on our principles and tactics every day, so it shouldn't matter who plays. We all know the system. You saw that from Emil on Tuesday. He came in and straight away looked like he'd been playing every game. After the final whistle, you might have seen some discussions between players on the pitch. I have to say, this is a normal thing that happens, on the pitch and even in training sometimes. You get these heated discussions when everyone cares and when we have the passion to win and do better. Emotions play a big part in football, but it comes from a good place because we just want the best from each other. We demand a lot from each other. We'll need everybody at their best again today against Liverpool. It wasn't that long ago we met in the FA Cup, and we have plenty of positives we can take from that. But we know we need to be more ruthless and take our chances. We controlled that game for long periods, but in front of the goals we weren't good enough. That's definitely what we want to change for this one, and something we've been working on. It's another big game, amazing game here at the Emirates, and we're all so excited to play them again. I have to say, I was surprised when I heard the news that Jurgen Klopp will be leaving at the end of the season. I can understand it though, because it must be a very demanding job, all the work they have to do, the pressure that comes with it and time away from your family. I have a lot of respect for his decision. He's a great manager and has done some unbelievable things there, so I wish him all the best in the future. Anyway, I don't think his decision will affect their players. They are very professional, so this news won't change what they do each week. Finally, last week brought up my third anniversary of signing here, and the move has been really good for me. It feels like a long time ago, actually. So much has happened since I moved here. When I look back at the pictures when I joined, I think I look so different. I look like a kid. We've had so many good moments since then. The progression we've made as a team, and for myself individually as well, has been good so far. But of course, I want more. I'm only 3 years in, and there's a lot more to come. I'm looking ahead now to what we can achieve together, and I'm very excited for the future. On behalf of the team, thanks for your amazing support up in Nottingham. Make it a special atmosphere here again at home today.
Around Arsenal. Premier League. Saka doubles up. On Tuesday night, Bukayo Saka became the first player to record at least 10 goals and 10 assists in all competitions in two consecutive seasons for us, since Alexis Sanchez did so three times running from 2014-15 to 2016-17. Last season, Bukayo racked up 15 goals and 11 assists in all competitions. Nobody in the squad had more, and this season he's already on 10 goals and 12 assists. That means he is just two away from a combined 100 goals and assists in his senior Arsenal career. He's netted 48 times in all competitions and now reached 50 assists. The next highest combined goal involvements in the current squad is Gabriel Martinelli, 59, followed by Martin Odegaard, 48, and Eddie Nketiah, 47. Bukayo's stats. 98 combined goals and assists. 48 goals. 50 assists. It's Gabby's goal. Our second goal against Crystal Palace in the last game here at the Emirates has now been officially credited to Gabrielle. Originally marked down as a Dean Henderson own goal, the decision was reviewed by the Premier League following an appeal from the club, and it has been agreed that the initial header from our big defender was goal-bound, meaning he netted twice on the day. He's now scored 14 goals for us in total, 13 of which have come in the Premier League. No defender has netted more in the competition since he made his debut for us in 2020. With the goal being awarded to Big Gabby, it means Bukayo Saka is credited with the assist, as it was his in-swinging corner that led to the goal. Pre-match presentation. Please put your hands together for a number of our prostate cancer walking football participants, who will be taking to the pitch before the match this afternoon. The group are part of an initiative between Arsenal in the Community and University College of London Hospital Cancer Fund, which has introduced a blend of walking football and social support to men affected by prostate cancer. You can find out more about the scheme later in this recording. Today is World Cancer Day, and therefore fitting that we raise awareness of a project that helps those with a form of the disease which is so prevalent among men. 1 in 8 men will get prostate cancer. Early diagnosis saves lives. Prostate Cancer UK and Arsenal in the Community. VIP supporters. Our VIP supporters club visiting today are County Armagh in Northern Ireland. Formed in 2002 to give local supporters a means of meeting up, watching Arsenal games and having access to tickets, they have over 50 members from all over Northern Ireland and from all communities and backgrounds. They get together three or four times a season to watch games at their regular venue, the Ashburn Hotel in Lurgan, and have members travelling over to every Arsenal match. The club has held fundraising events for the neonatal unit in Craigavon Area Hospital and the Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast for sick children, and are arranging another fundraiser this year, with members asked for suggestions as to the worthy cause. Their aim is to continue to grow and offer local Arsenal supporters a place where they can feel welcome as part of a group and enjoy watching and travelling to games together. They also hope to grow their status within the local community and beyond. Finally, a special mention for the group's founder back in 2002, Frank Quinn. Without him, the club would not exist today, and all the friendships and special memories would be lost. Tommy Baldwin. We were saddened to hear of the recent death of our former player, Tommy Baldwin, aged 78. Tommy headed to Arsenal from Gateshead in the northeast as a teenager in 1962 and made his first team debut in a league match against Birmingham City on April the 6th, 1965, 1-3-0. The forward went on to play 20 games for the Gunners, scoring 7 goals, before heading to Chelsea in September 1966 as part of the deal that brought George Graham to Highbury. Tommy, who also played over 150 representative matches for Arsenal, went on to be a legendary player at Stamford Bridge, where he scored 73 goals in 187 games. Our thoughts are with Tommy's family and friends. Ref Watch. Anthony Taylor is our referee for this afternoon's game. The Cheshire official has been in charge of just one of our games this season, the memorable 3-1 win over Manchester United at Emirates in September. And overall, his Arsenal record reads 1-29, drawn 11, lost 8. Anthony was the man in the middle at Wembley on August 1, 2020, when we beat Chelsea in the FA Cup final. NMR shirts for more role models. The No More Red initiative launched in January 2022 with Adidas to support the long-standing work being done by Arsenal in the community to keep young people safe from knife crime and youth violence. Within that, one of the aims was to spotlight the work of young people who have made a positive difference. And the latest recipients of our special No More Red shirts today are Bailey and Tyler. Bailey has dedicated a lot of time to Arsenal in the community. He joined the Chances programme in July 2023, a programme delivered by Arsenal in the community which aims to support young people in Islington to achieve their goals around education, employment and personal development. He was supported through a change in school and in his journey as he works towards his GCSEs this year. Bailey's long-term goal is to work in the sport, health and fitness industry, and his work with Arsenal in the community has supported him to gain experience and qualifications in this area. Most recently, he was offered a place on the NCFE programme for the next steps in his education. After joining the Chances programme last year, Bailey started off by completing his FA Playmaker and has volunteered on our Positive Futures session at the Westbourne Estate. Through this, he helps to inspire the younger members of his community who attend these sessions, supporting them to access football, make friends and have fun. He supports our more experienced coaches in the delivery of sessions plans and takes on responsibility to develop his own skills in coaching and mentoring young people. We are really proud of the work Bailey has done so far and look forward to seeing him continue to succeed. Tyler was a participant on Arsenal in the Community's Football Plus 16 Plus programme. Tyler has shown great growth and development during years on the programme. Despite receiving a terrible injury last year that has affected his playing over the past 12 months, Tyler hasn't let this influence his mentality to involve himself with the group in a mentoring role. He has shown very good leadership skills and undertaken a lot of volunteering work with young people and remains keen to learn and grow. He has supported the Football Plus program by helping coaches during the sessions and building his coaching knowledge. He has helped mentor younger players and was one of three young leaders for the development program. He has supported matches alongside coaching staff and helped with player support and discussed feedback with AFC staff. He is also studying the coach's CDP online, and he also took part in the original Rocky 7 group, a youth leadership program. Lastly, Tyler was part of our football development cultural exchange to Germany, showing great leadership skills, working well between both the boys' development squad and the girls' academy. Good luck, Bradley! Bradley Ibrahim has joined two Bundesliga side Hertha BSC in a permanent transfer. The 19-year-old joined our academy in September 2017 and went on to sign his first professional contract with us in March 2022. The versatile midfielder had a successful 2022 to 2023 campaign, making 25 appearances in all competitions across our academy, and was rewarded with a place in our first team match day in Europa League group stage fixtures away to Bodo Glimt and PSV Eindhoven. The England Youth International also featured on the bench this season in our 3-1 Premier League win against Burnley at Emirates Stadium back in November. We thank Bradley for his contribution to the club and wish him all the best with Hertha BSC. Meet the mascots. Our home mascot leading out the Gunners today is Daniel, who is 8 years old and from Leytonstone. He lists his favourite players as Bukayo Saka, Declan Rice and Gabriel Jesus. The Liverpool mascot today is 11-year-old Oscar, who is from Jersey. Have a brilliant day, boys. Elneny returns. Mohamed Elneny's Egypt are out of the Africa Cup of Nations. They were knocked out at the round of 16 stage, going down 8-7 on penalties to DR Congo after a 1-1 draw last Sunday. Elneny was taken off during extra time, meaning he wasn't one of the spot kick takers. The quarterfinals were played on Friday and yesterday, with the final in Ivory Coast scheduled for next Sunday. Meanwhile, at the AFC Asian Cup in Qatar, Takahiro Tomiyasu was in the starting lineup for Japan's 3-1 win over Bahrain in the round of 16 match on Wednesday. Tommy played the full 90 minutes at centre-back, watching Ritsu Doan give his nation the lead in the 31st minute. Takefusa Koba made it 2-0 shortly after half-time, and while a Zion Suzuki own goal planted a seed of doubt, Japan restored their two-goal lead through Ayase Ueda with just under 20 minutes remaining. The win meant that Japan, who are the competition's most successful team in history with four titles, faced Iran yesterday, the result of which was not known at time of going to print. If Tommy has made it to the semi-finals, they will be played this Tuesday or Wednesday, with the final taking place in Lusail Stadium in Qatar on Saturday. Richard Garlick appointed managing director. Director of Football Operations Richard Garlick will take the role of managing director this summer. Richard will step into the role when Vinay Venkatesham leaves the role at the end of the season. A respected leader and qualified lawyer, Rich held a number of high-profile roles in the industry before he joined us in 2021 as Director of Football Operations, where he has executive responsibility for all football operations and administration across the club, including women's football and player care. He joined us from the Premier League, where he was Director of Football, after occupying a number of roles at West Bromwich Albion, where he was also appointed to the board of directors in December 2010. Since joining Arsenal in 2021, I've had the privilege to be involved with almost every aspect of this incredible club, said Rich recently. I'm excited to take us forward in my new role as we move into the next phase of delivering the vision of our owners, Stan and Josh Krenker. I'd like to thank the board for the support they've given me and Edu for his support as I pursued this opportunity. I'd also like to thank Vinay for his leadership and contribution to the club over the last 14 years. I look forward to continuing to work with them all as I transition into this new role and drive the club forward. Ticket news. Home tickets. Arsenal v Newcastle United, Premier League, Saturday, February the 24th, kickoff 8 p.m. Tickets on sale to Silver, Canon, Red and JG members via the ticket exchange service until 5 p.m. on Sunday, February the 24th. Away tickets. West Ham United v Arsenal, the London Stadium, Premier League, Sunday, February the 11th, kickoff 2 p.m. Tickets for this match sold out to Platinum, Gold and Travel Club members with 15+ away points. Burnley v Arsenal, Turf Moor, Premier League, Saturday, February the 17th, kickoff 3 p.m. Tickets for this match have sold out. Porto v Arsenal, Estadio do Dragão, UEFA Champions League, Wednesday, February the 21st, kickoff 8 p.m. Tickets for this match have sold out. Notice board. Happy 80th, Mike Koish, from Sheila and all your friends at Arsenal. To tell, happy 50th birthday. All our love always, Mum, Dad, Sue, Lee, Toby and Josh. Happy 12th birthday to Alfie de Vetstein. Love from Mum, Dad, Grace and Rocky. Happy 15th birthday, Jack. You are my favourite gooner. Love you always, Mum. Happy 40th birthday, Gary Caffell. Love you lots. From a very proud mum and dad. Happy birthday, Michael. Hope you enjoy your day and the match. Love, Mum. To our darling son, Luca, a true gunner. Happy 19th birthday. Have a wonderful day. Love, Mum and Dad. Noah, happy 10th birthday, Big Gooner, and enjoy your special trip from Israel. Lots of love, Am Yisrael Chai. Welcome to Ben Furness from Walton-on-Thames, who is attending his first ever league game. Have a wonderful day from all your family. Happy 80th birthday, February the 7th, to Chaz McCann. Love from all your family. Happy first birthday to our two special little gooners, Bethany and Jessica Wackett. With love from Grandma, Grandad and Auntie Jodie. Happy 40th birthday, Mick. Let's get those 3 points. Love, Colin, Tracy and Cohen. C-O-Y-G. Happy birthday, Daniel Tillotson, a true gooner and top bloke, from the many you've helped. C-O-Y-G. Wishing Laurie Smith a very happy 70th birthday. Enjoy your special day. Love from all the family. Happy anniversary, Richard Gere. Can't wait to become your wife on the 5th of May. All my love, Evelyn. Happy birthday to Stefan, who turned 21 on the 27th of January. Let's hope Arsenal win today. Love, Mum, Dad and Ellie. A very special welcome to Paul Unger from Hannersdorf, Austria, to his visit at the Emirates together with Marcel Conrad. Enjoy. Happy 15th birthday to Harry Fisher. Harry is in Block 28, wearing his favourite Kai Havertz away shirt. Happy birthday, Harry, from Mum, Dad and fellow junior gunner, Freddie. Rob McGaw. Happy 60th birthday. Have a lovely day. Lots of love, Dawn. Welcome back to the Emirates, three of Arsenal's biggest supporters, Jack, Oscar and Matilda from Old Wilsonian FC, Hayes, Kent, COYG. Happy 50th birthday, Binsey. Great man, great friend. Proud to know you. From Rich. Happy 13th birthday, Eden, to Arsenal's biggest fan and in his favourite place, North Bank, seat 157. We love you, Mummy, Daddy and Meadow. Happy birthday, David Petz, for the 5th of February. Lots of love from family. Happy 18th birthday, George Moore. Trust the process. Love Mum, Dad and Oscar. Happy 21st birthday, Jay. Hope you have the best day watching the Arsenal. Lots of love, Aza. Arsenal remembers. Sam Denniston. Sam the man, although only 15, was an inspirational, lovable, hugely sporty, cheeky character who will be sorely missed. Your memory will live on. John Moody, aged 97, season ticket holder for 60 years, sadly passed away on December the 13th, having first attended Highbury in 1942. Barbara Maney, in loving memory of an amazing woman, loved watching the Arsenal. Her favourite players were Ian Wright and Thierry Henry. Loved forever, Priya, Aaron and Mason. Tony Tyler. Wishing my lovely daddy a happy heavenly birthday. Love and miss you so much. A lifelong gooner. Love you always, Lars. Ian Cookson from Dorchester, who sadly passed away in January. Arsenal through and through, he will be missed by many. Rest in peace. Bob O'Reilly, 2nd of May 1962 to 26th of December 2023. Lifelong Arsenal fan, proper Cockney lad, a friend to everyone, and a true gentleman. He will be greatly missed by his family and many friends. Paul Pengelly, 14th of September 1986 to 30th of November 2023. Paul passed away suddenly on November the 30th, 2023, aged 37. A passionate fan who travelled across Europe to support the Arsenal. Beloved son to Keith and Geraldine, brother to Gemma, daddy to Amelia and Dulcie, uncle to Ryan, and a friend to so many. John Morris Griffin, from Waterford, Ireland, September the 27th, 1937 to January the 7th, 2024. East Upper season ticket holder in the 90s, bondholder North Bank Lower and platinum season ticket holder to present. Dearly missed by children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Together, Yuri and Timber. We speak to our first team players about what togetherness and team spirit means to them. Our summer signing on life as a twin and how he's managed to integrate into the group despite his lack of playing time. Yuri and Timber's move to Arsenal in the summer was the first time he had joined a team outside of his home country. But maybe more significantly, it was also the first time he'd ever changed clubs without his twin brother by his side. Now 22, Urien has been a member of a football team for as long as he can remember, since he was just 4 years old, in fact, and every time he has moved to a new club, his twin Quintin made the move too, until that is his move from Ajax to Arsenal last July. The two brothers, the youngest of five siblings, have been together in every aspect of their life, every step of the way, up until a few years ago. So Urian is perfectly placed to talk about what togetherness is. Indeed, he barely knows what it means to be apart. Born in Utrecht, right in the very centre of the Netherlands in June 2001, Urian and Quintin joined their local club, DVSU, before they had even started school. "Yeah, I was four when I joined," the defender explains. "Just a small team and played there for 2 years and got scouted quite quickly. Then left when I was six to join Feyenoord. Maybe because I was with my twin, I got noticed quicker. And maybe we were better than the others," he smiles. So, what was Urian like as a young kid? Did he find he had to speak out more to get noticed alongside his twin? "Well, I don't think we were quiet guys," he reveals, "but we weren't the loudest, we weren't captain or anything like that. But yes, in the team, I think we were among the leaders in the group. At that age, I played with my twin, but also my older brother Dylan, and he was also scouted to go to Feyenoord when we were six and he was seven." The brothers continued their progress in Rotterdam with Feyenoord, with Urian settling down into his defensive role when he was about 10 or 11. Then, at the age of 12, Feyenoord's big rivals Ajax came calling. Again, both junior Timbers moved together. "Dylan had already left Feyenoord by then," he recalls, "but I think it made it easier moving to a new club with Quinton because we were always together. At that stage, you don't really realise. When I look back on it now, it was easier. You have someone there alongside you, and it was never that difficult to join somewhere new." The two continued their journey at Ajax, only parting when Quinton moved to Utrecht in 2021. Until then, for 20 years, they had spent virtually every single day of their lives in each other's company. They were even together on international duty, both representing the Netherlands at under 15, 16, 17, 19, and under 21 levels. "Yes, that's why we are so close. We did the same thing at school and with football, so every day we were together. Everywhere we went, we were together, and we even had the same friends. So it's interesting, but that's all we knew. We were so used to it until the point we split up, which was when he went to Utrecht. Until then, we had basically been together every single day. But still, somehow, it wasn't strange when we eventually split ways. I don't know why, but it felt normal. I knew it would happen someday. It felt quite natural, like it was with my older brothers." So, did they even join in each other's hobbies, play in other sports teams together? "I didn't play anything other than football. I didn't have time," Urian explains. "It was just football and school, because you don't have much space for anything else. I watched basketball a lot. To be honest, I like to watch all sports, but I didn't play them. Last weekend, I went to watch a rugby game. It was Saracens. I enjoyed it, and I understand it a bit more now, which makes it more enjoyable too. I like to watch darts on the TV as well. I just love watching sport and seeing people compete." 2 years after Quinton left Ajax for Utrecht, Urian was on the move too, leaving the Netherlands for the first time to join us in July 2023, the first move where Quinton was not by his side. "Now you say that, it's true," Urian smiles. "It's the first time I had joined somewhere without Quentin signing at the same time, but I did not realise really because everything went smoothly. Apart from the injury, the move has been really good to be honest. I've had some time to integrate to the club and to London while I've been injured. It's a different opportunity to get to know London and to feel at home. That was the positive side of it, and I've done that, and now I do feel at home. I feel comfortable at the club, with the boys and the staff, but also where I live." So far, Urian has only had a few chances to show what he can offer the first team since signing. He impressed in pre-season matches during our US summer tour and in the Emirates Cup against Monaco before helping us beat Manchester City in the Community Shield at Wembley. But then he suffered a heartbreaking ACL injury in the opening Premier League game of the season at home to Nottingham Forest on August 12th. He's been out of action ever since. But last month he travelled with the squad to Dubai to step up his recovery, and there is certainly light at the end of the tunnel now, with Mikel Arteta saying he is hopeful of seeing the summer signing in action again this season. But Jurrien believes the last few months have not been wasted by any means. He has been able to integrate into life at his new club, taking the extra time afforded by his enforced layoff to settle into his surroundings and get to know his teammates. Of course, at some points it's been difficult, he admits, because you're not playing and that's the thing you love to do. Sometimes you really want to join in the team. When you are enjoying the game so much, you really want to get down there and be part of it. That's frustrating, because sometimes it looks so amazing you want to be a part of it. But I use that as motivation during my recovery. I see the boys a lot, at the training ground but also at the games, and that's been good for me too. These months will definitely make me stronger, he adds. It's an opportunity for me to do well. So, even though I'm not playing, I can take this moment to become stronger, mentally, physically, and also to feel at home with this group of boys. It's an opportunity I've taken with both hands. I've had more time to watch the team, see how we play, how I can fit in when I get on the pitch. So, looking at the positives, I think there have been many. So, what has Jurrien made of his new teammates? It's nice that we have some young players, he smiles. That made it easier for me to come in, but I have to say that although this group is young, when they are on the pitch, you don't notice it. When I watch us play, I forget how young they are, because they all look like they've played here for 10 years. But more than this, he loves the diversity among the group, for that's what makes a good team spirit, he states. You need to have a good mix of players and people. Every player has their own quality and characteristics, and you also need a hungry group that wants to win prizes and fight for each other. You also need experienced players, younger players, and players from different backgrounds even. A real mix is very important. Then, from there, you need to click together with what the manager and the coaches want from you. As soon as that clicks, you can do amazing things. And it extends beyond the playing staff, he says. The staff behind us are as amazing as the team itself, and I know it's something that has been worked on a lot, to have that humble organisation and love for everyone. It's a great environment to work in, with respect, and everyone who works here, the chefs, the physios, it's one big team. For me, as a new player, that was really nice to come into. In my first few weeks here, on tour in America, we had a group barbecue with games and all the staff were involved. And we did that again in Dubai recently. So, Jurrien's actual family and the Arsenal family have now converged, and he couldn't be happier, even if it means much more travelling for his mum, in order to stay close to her sons. My family have been visiting me, definitely. They try to come over, even though I've not been playing, he says. But with my brothers playing in the Netherlands, sometimes it's hard for them to be everywhere. It's very close to the Netherlands, though, and is easy to get here, so yes, they've been around, and helping support me while I am injured, too. I've got four brothers, and two of them are playing football as well, but I think it's a real blessing for our family. My mum tries to be everywhere, and when I'm playing, I think she will try to be in London as well. It's something very nice, though, because not everyone has that in their family, so I try to support my brothers, too, and watch their games. It's a beautiful thing. And Quinton? It's the first time the twins have lived in different countries in their lives, but they've got together when possible. He's been over twice since I joined, he says of his brother, a midfielder who left Utrecht to rejoin Feyenoord in 2022. He had Champions League games this season, so it was difficult, but in the first international break he came over, and he had some time off at Christmas too, and came over to watch a game with me at the Emirates. So it was good to see him. And hopefully, next time the twins are together in the stadium, Jurrien will be on the pitch rather than in the stands.
Foundation Voice. Arsenal Acts. The Arsenal Foundation has helped fund Music in Hospitals and Care, a charity that brings live music to people in hospitals and other healthcare institutions. Music in Hospitals and Care's Sarah Norfolk tells us how the money has helped. Music in Hospitals and Care is a charity that improves the health and well-being of children and adults through the healing power of live music. Every year, our professional musicians share live music with people from across the UK who may not otherwise get to experience it. This includes those living with dementia, mental health problems, or who are seriously ill. I'm the charity's live music manager for the South of England and Channel Islands. I've worked in care homes, day centres and schools as a creative and therapeutic arts facilitator, bringing music and arts to those living in or accessing those settings. During COVID, I completed a master's in ageing and gerontology, where I focused my attention on care homes and music. And just as I finished my studies, I saw this job pop up. It felt like a natural step for me. Day to day, our team communicates with our health and care settings and musicians to organise the live music. Our music team handpicks professional musicians through audition. They're chosen for their blend of musical talent, sensitivity, and people skills. The live music experiences they create and share cover a wide range of genres and are tailored to the patients, residents, participants, family members, and staff. They perform in hospitals, hospices, care homes, day centres, special schools and mental health services, as well as in community settings. It certainly brings positive benefits. We see people interacting with our musicians by doing everything from smiling to getting up to dance or sing. And we've had lots of great feedback about the musicians. They lift the mood for the people who are physically ill or struggling with depression or anxiety, and they offer warmth and compassion. Music can also reduce the perception of pain. It brings back memories and helps create new ones. On a personal level, I find it hugely rewarding, especially when you get to go out and see how patients and residents respond to hearing their favourite tunes. I love it when a staff member tells you that someone they care for has benefited from the music, whether it be singing the words to a song when they usually struggle to communicate, or a poorly baby and mum sharing a special moment together in a neonatal unit. The entire Arsenal Foundation grant went towards the cost of our musicians visiting Homerton Hospital, which enabled patients, including children and adults, to experience the healing power of live music. When a Premier League football club supports a charity such as ours, it demonstrates that local communities do matter and are recognised. It's brilliant that we are able to share the positive impact that live music has on health and well-being with people attending the match today. Musician Rudy Green recounts one of the hospital visits on behalf of Music in Hospitals and Care. It was a quiet and exhausted atmosphere when I arrived, with some patients looking very tired and sleepy. The kora, a West African harp, worked well in this case, with soothing and relaxing sounds. There were a couple of patients who followed me round the bays the whole time, wanting to listen and have an interactive experience, asking lots of questions and happily listening to the music. The staff were also really appreciative that I'd come and set a nice atmosphere that lasted after I finished. For more information on Music in Hospitals and Care, visit mihc.org.uk.
Sustainability. Arsenal Acts. Green Football Weekend. This weekend is Green Football Weekend, an initiative encouraging supporters to make more sustainable choices. This year, Green Football Weekend is asking supporters to consider vegetarian alternatives in their diet, with the opportunity to score green goals for their club. One of the club's great ambassadors for sustainability is Academy goalkeeper Alexei Rojas Fedoroshenko, someone we have featured on these pages previously discussing environmental issues. And we've also highlighted his commute to the training ground by bicycle. Alexei addressed Reclaim, a special weekend hosted at the Eden Project, focused on mental health and planetary well-being. He spoke alongside Elliot Arthur Warsop, founder of Football for Future, as the two discussed the role of football in sustainability. Alexei is an environmental champion for our academy and played a major role in removing single-use plastic from Hale End, as well as introducing compostable packaging and better means of recycling and waste sorting across our sites. It's so inspiring to be at the Eden Project and hear the different points of view on what is one of the most pressing issues in our world, Alexei told us. I've always believed that making small changes to how we act and live can make a big difference to our collective impact on the world. I've always encouraged my teammates and colleagues at Arsenal to make more sustainable choices. Football is in a unique position to inspire people across the world in a way that no other industry can. We all have a duty to take action now, and I hope that moments like this can inspire more people to make meaningful changes to their lives. Alexei also recently joined Common Goal, where he will continue to champion sustainability. For more on Green Football Weekend, scan the QR code in the hard copy of your programme. Premier League. Up for the Cup. Through our partnership with Ball Corporation, we are delighted to reveal a new bespoke Arsenal by Ball aluminium cup that has been introduced at Emirates Stadium in time for Green Football Weekend. The cups, which are infinitely recyclable, will be in use at all our future matches in the players' changing rooms, media lounge, the Avenel Club, and across the media facilities, as we continue to reduce the use of single-use plastic across all of our facilities. Up for the cup too. And remember, our general admission areas also have their own reusable cups through a partnership with Camden Brewery, the first Premier League club to implement the scheme in 2018-19. Our reusable cup scheme replaces all single-use plastic pint and half-pint cups, as well as paper soft drinks cups. The scheme saves the use of around 20,000 single-use plastic cups per game and more than 500,000 per season. We have already saved the use of over 500,000 plastic cups since the project started. Tremendous effort. Close to 150 supporters have joined us in purchasing trees in the Arsenal Forest, meaning that between us, we have now planted a remarkable 31,000 trees. Cy Waring, manager of Woodfellows Joinery Limited in West Wales, is an environmentally aware Guna who is already working with our partners Carbon Link, but the Arsenal Link has redoubled his efforts. I've been a gunner from day one and been planting with the Carbon Link project in Boer for years to make up for the timber we use in the workshop, says Cy. So when I heard about the Arsenal Forest, it was a no-brainer for me to join in with that project too. It's a great way of showing support and demonstrating sustainability to your customers at the same time. Be a part of the Arsenal Forest. For more on the project, and to buy your own trees for just £1 each, scan the QR code in the hard copy of your programme.
Community Voice. Arsenal Acts. Project Prostate Cancer Support. Weekly participants 30 and rising. Available to men with prostate cancer. Days and times sessions take place. Fridays from 6:30 to 8 p.m. For more information, email rratcliffe@arsenal.co.uk. In October 2023, Arsenal in the community partnered with the University College London Hospital Cancer Fund to pioneer an initiative aimed at men affected by prostate cancer. This innovative project introduces a blend of walking football and social support, offering a safe haven for participants to connect, share their journeys, and glean insights from notable guest speakers. Every Friday evening, the camaraderie thrives as participants converge on the Arsenal Hub, where they foster bonds and resilience in the face of adversity. The sessions are not just about physical activity. They serve as a platform for emotional healing and empowerment, with esteemed guests like Arsenal legend Charlie George and specialist nurses from Prostate Cancer UK attending their gatherings. The men attending gain invaluable knowledge and solidarity. The heart of the programme lies in the laughter and camaraderie that accompanies the one-hour walking football sessions, expertly led by Arsenal in the Community coaches. As a testament to its impact, the group has grown to 13 registered members and continues to welcome new participants with open arms. Beyond the confines of the pitch, this collective endeavours to amplify awareness about prostate cancer, emphasising the critical importance of early detection. Their poignant message resonates. One in eight men will be affected by prostate cancer, a risk that escalates with age, ethnicity, and familial history. However, armed with knowledge and proactive measures, the journey becomes navigable. The group extends a rallying cry to all men. Prostate cancer need not define nor deter. The arsenal of support and resilience exhibited by this community exemplifies the power of unity and proactive healthcare. Today in this matchday programme and scattered across the stadium's men's facilities, you'll find a QR code and a link asking men to assess their risk and embark on a journey of vigilance and well-being. In their pursuit of health and solidarity, they exemplify the enduring spirit of resilience and camaraderie.
My fave shirt. Supporters tell us about an Arsenal shirt they hold in particular affection. Antoine Halley is a 28-year-old shirt collector from France who tells us about his love for a decade-old keeper's kit. I've been supporting Arsenal since the 2008-09 season when I was a boy. My favourite shirt is the 2013-14 purple goalkeeper's kit. I first saw it in a photo shoot for that season and was hooked. It was our last season with Nike, and goalkeeper shirts are often more difficult to find, so I'm happy I got my hands on one. I really like the simple design, and particularly this shirt with long sleeves. The purple colourway and different tones of colour add something to it. There were also grey, green and black versions worn that season, and I loved Wojciech Szczęsny from that era. Wojciech preferred his shirts with short sleeves only, so a slightly different version was produced for him. Short-sleeve goalkeeper shirts are the norm now, but back then this was fairly unusual. In terms of matches, this shirt makes me think of a tough away day at St James's Park between Christmas and the New Year. An old-fashioned 1-0 win, so a clean sheet for my shirt. Arsenal completed an Asia tour in 2013 and produced versions with local dialect sponsors, which looked great on the goalkeeper shirts too. This was an important time of my life too, as I moved to London in 2014, so I lived the rhythm of my football club for a couple of months. The shirt brings every memory of that season to life, a season that saw us winning the FA Cup after 9 trophyless years. I only got this shirt last year and will wear it casually, but I'm careful as it is very rare, but I do wear it in my local pub supporting my club. Did you know? Wojciech Szczęsny played all but one of our Premier League games in 2013-14, keeping 16 clean sheets to win the Golden Gloves Award and conceding 41 goals. We finished fourth that season, 7 points ahead of fifth-placed Everton. Lukas Fabianski played in goal for the one Premier League game that Wojciech missed, a 2-0 win over Norwich on the final day. Lukas was also the regular keeper in our triumphant FA Cup run, but wore the greenkeeper's strip in the final. As well as sharing goalkeeping duties, Polish keepers Wojciech and Lukas also share a birthday. April 18th, Lukas born 1985 and Wojciech born in 1990. Are you a shirt collector? If you share an interest in collecting Arsenal kit, there's an Arsenal shirt collectors group of over 3,500 members worldwide who buy, sell and swap Arsenal kit from all seasons. All welcome. You can find them on Twitter at @shirt_Arsenal or Facebook www.facebook.com/groups/986202461.
Academy Young Gun. Timmy Davies, The Basics. Born Hackney, 27th of the 11th, 2004. Joined 1st of the 7th, 2021. Height 6'2", weight 78 kilograms. Position winger. School Bishop Justice, Bromley, St. Bede's, Manchester. Number 46. Rate yourself out of 100. Pace 97. Dribbling 90, passing 84, shooting 83, defending 78, physical 85. I was born in Hackney, specifically in Homerton, but most of my years after were spent in Bromley. During my childhood, I didn't have any particular sporting role models or favourite teams in football because I didn't watch it while growing up. It was just a sport I was good at. However, as I started watching it more regularly, Neymar caught my attention with his incredible skills and amazing goals. Every time he got the goal, I'd always expect him to do something crazy. I only started playing football around the age of 10, and it was purely for enjoyment. I played with my friend, and he saw that I was pretty good, so he invited me to join his team, Footscray Lions, in Sidcup. I played as a striker for about 2 or 3 seasons when I got interest from Glebe FC, a Kent League club, when I was 13 years old. From there, my football involvement expanded. I started playing for Bromley District, Kent County, Glebe, and my school team at Bishop Justice. Despite the heavy schedule, I relished every moment on the field. While I was playing in a cup final for Glebe, my performance caught the eye of scouts from Manchester City. They approached my mother and offered me a trial in the summer of 2018. Just before that, I went on trial at Chelsea and I had the chance to join them. But when it came down to choosing, I opted for Man City as I was excited by the prospect of starting fresh in a new city with new opportunities. Adjusting to the new environment in the Northwest was challenging at first, considering that I was so young at the time, but having my mother come to Manchester with me made the transition smoother. After spending around 2.5 years at Man City, the time came for scholarship decisions and I wasn't offered one by the club. I was disappointed at first, but there were other clubs, notably Arsenal, who showed interest. Returning to London for the trial felt like coming full circle, and I thoroughly enjoyed the experience. After a few sessions, I received the good news of my signing from Lee Heron, and I was ecstatic. Joining Arsenal on a scholarship and then earning my professional deal was a dream come true, especially considering that I started playing football later than most people do. One of the standout moments was making my under-21s debut against Bromley and training with the first team. Before training with them, I was nervous because you watch these guys on TV, and training with them is a real pinch-me moment. But it was a great experience and a good wake-up call as to the level of dedication and skill required to succeed at the highest level. Before each game, I have my rituals, from playing music in the changing room to putting on all my kit in a timely order. For example, I put my left sock on, then right sock, and likewise with my boots. Unfortunately, injuries have been a part of my journey, especially challenging mentally, as I hadn't experienced them before. Dealing with multiple injuries, including an ACL injury, has been tough, but the support network at Arsenal has been key in my recovery journey. I'm aiming to return stronger and more determined than ever, with my sights set on making a comeback before the end of the season and thriving in the seasons to come.
Around the Academy. we showed great character. Jack Wilshere expressed his delight with his team's performance, following a resounding 4-0 victory over Leicester City in the under-18s Premier League on Saturday, January the 27th. Goals from Michael Rosiak, Chido Martin Obi, and a brace from Osman Kamara secured the team's fourth consecutive league win. Wilshere praised his team's character in bouncing back from a heavy defeat for his team in the FA Youth Cup against Liverpool. "We needed to show character after last week. It was tough for the team, as it's probably the first time the players have experienced bad press and negativity, and you need character to overcome it. You need to get back to the drawing board, turn up to training, and play games even harder. I asked them to show personality by being confident and getting on the ball. There was a lot of personality all over the pitch today, so I'm very happy with that." Furthermore, Wilshere commended Michael Rosiak for his dedication to practicing free kicks, which resulted in his fourth free kick goal of the season. "He's a great example to the players because he practices and practices. Of course, there are other sides to the game you can practice, but he puts in serious dedication to his craft of taking free kicks. He actually tried a bit of a different technique today, and it was unsavable. A great goal." Bukayo back to his roots. On Friday, January the 26th, Bukayo Saka took a trip down memory lane and travelled to Hale End to surprise the under-9s, under-10s and under-11s as they took on Charlton Athletic. Saka, who came through the Hale End system himself, of course, really enjoyed engaging with the excited young players and telling of his experience from when he was in the early age groups to give them some words of wisdom before their games. Tyrese rejoins Rams. Tyrese John-Jules will continue on loan with League One side Derby County for the remainder of the season. After picking up an injury early in the season, the striker scored within a minute of making his comeback at the end of November in a 1-0 win for the Rams at Port Vale, and followed that up with a goal in the EFL Trophy on his next outing. Unfortunately, after a run of a dozen games playing for Paul Warne's side, he picked up another injury in Derby's defeat at Reading on January the 23rd, and is currently being assessed as to when he might make his return to action. Hopefully, he'll be back on the pitch soon, and he can continue his development at Pride Park. Narrow defeat at Wolves. Despite the disappointment of a 2-1 defeat to Wolves in the Premier League 2, Arsenal under-21's assistant coach Max Porter commended the collective effort displayed by our young gunners on Friday, January the 26th. After conceding an early goal to Ty Barnett, Ethan Nwaneri swiftly equalised with a close-range finish. However, Barnett struck again early in the second half, securing his brace and dealing us our first defeat of 2024. "I thought the effort of the boys was excellent," said Porter. "Their attitude and application was top, and we can't fault them for that. What it came to was that Wolves made it very difficult for us. We didn't have enough quality to consistently break them down. For our standards, we gave away poor goals, and with the way they approached the game, they made it extremely difficult for us. Upon reflection, we're disappointed to have lost the game, but we've got to learn to get better in breaking down these types of teams, as well as making sure that when we do get chances to be, we are ruthless in front of goal." Porter concluded by speaking of his strong relationship with Mehmet Ali, who unfortunately missed the game through illness. "Mehmet and I work very well together, along with all the other staff. It's never easy to coach without him, because Mehmet's a fantastic man and an excellent coach. We did the best we could for him, and the best compliment I can give him is that I thought the players' attitudes and application were spot on, which is a testament to the culture that he drives every day along with us as staff. We wanted to be able to put on a good performance and get a result for him, and hopefully he'll get better and be with us soon. Youth Cup defeat. Arsenal under-18s head coach Jack Wilshere offered his reflections on a challenging night that saw the team face a 7-1 defeat and elimination from the FA Youth Cup against Liverpool on Saturday, January the 20th. Although we managed to level the score early on with a goal from Ethan Nwaneri, the hosts' finishing in front of goal was clinical, ultimately securing their passage into the fifth round. "It was a tough night, a real tough night," said Wilshere. "Ultimately, I believe they were better than us, and that's the harsh reality. I need to review the match to pinpoint where and when they outperformed us, because I feel, at times, we had decent spells in the game." He emphasised the developmental nature of the team, stating, "We have to remember that we are in development football, and these players are not yet the finished product. They still have learning to do. However, my job is to lift them, regroup on Monday, and continue their development." While acknowledging the need to learn from the defeat, Wilshere highlighted the importance of not letting it overshadow the positive work done throughout the season. "We have to learn from it and communicate clearly to the players that there are lessons to be learned. However, we cannot allow it to overshadow all the good work we've done so far this season." Mika joins SK Sturm Graz. Mika Beereth has returned from his loan spell at Scottish Premiership side Motherwell and has joined Austrian Bundesliga team SK Sturm Graz for the remainder of the season. The 20-year-old forward made a major impression at Motherwell, scoring 6 goals and assisting 5 times in his 15 appearances, and he will be hoping to impress again in a new environment when the Austrian league returns from its winter break this Friday, when Sturm travel to RB Salzburg. Holocaust Memorial Day at Hale End. Last weekend, Arsenal under-14s enjoyed a very successful Hale End Cup, winning 3 matches and drawing 2 to claim the cup in a competition which also featured Leicester City, PSG, Toulouse, Blackburn Rovers and Shamrock Rovers. The tournament was also notable for a series of tributes being read out by our young players before the competition started to recognise Holocaust Memorial Day. In addition, there was a minute's silence as a mark of respect before a ball was kicked at Hale End.
Arsenal Women. Viv's back. We celebrated Jonas Eidevall's 100th game in charge with an impressive 2-0 win over Liverpool last Sunday, January 28th. Despite controlling the match, the first half proved somewhat frustrating as chances were few and far between, as Liverpool's low block caused a lot of congestion for our forwards in open play, and it was no surprise that a set piece almost broke the deadlock. A great corner whipped in by Beth Mead was met by the head of Lotte Vuben-Moy, but Rachel Laws was equal to it in the Liverpool goal. It took a moment of magic on the hour mark to finally open the scoring. Picking up the ball in her own half, Emily Fox showed great pace and skill to skin several Liverpool defenders before finding Vivian Miedema unmarked in the centre. Our Dutch magician let fly from range with a fantastic strike that flashed into the roof of the net. Her first goal since returning from an ACL injury and a remarkable 125th for the Gunners in just her 169th game for the club. We doubled our lead soon afterwards. Fox was the instigator again, spotting a lovely run from Alessia Russo. Our number 23 raced towards the byline and cut a perfectly weighted ball across the face of goal, and Caitlin Ford was more than happy to convert. Super sub Stina Blackstenius looked sharp when she came on for the final 20 minutes, causing constant havoc for the Reds' defence, but the scoreline remained 2-0 at the final whistle. And it was a special afternoon for Jonas Eidevall on his 100th game in charge.
Yeah, it's a huge privilege being able to do that, said the Swede after the match, and the supporters played a huge part in how special they make it feel to represent Arsenal. But it's not about me, it's about the team, and the team was very good today, and that's what pleased me the most. We moved the ball well, set up situations over and over again, constantly managing the longer balls and being able to connect with the second balls, managing a lot of potentially frustrating moments in the game where the ball is not in play, where there are fouls. They did excellent. All we spoke about before the game, they managed excellently. That's why it's really pleasing to see that we get the result.
Conti Cup crushing. We secured a place in the Conti Cup quarterfinals in style by hitting 6 past Reading at the Madeshki Stadium on Wednesday, January 24th. Eve Annetts in the Reading goal made several early saves to keep the deadlock intact, but an incisive ball from Frieda Manham set up Caitlin Ford to slot home from the edge of the area. Stina Blackstenius then continued her electric form in front of goal with a magnificent finish at the near post, courtesy of Steph Catley's whipped cross. Our Swedish striker struck again just before the break, shrugging off her marker in the box and firing a deflected shot into the bottom corner. Leia Codina grabbed her first goal for the club, heading home a Catley corner to make it 4-0, and then, with 60 minutes on the clock, a deafening roar from the away supporters heralded Leah Williamson's return to the pitch after 9 months away. Jen Beattie made way for a noticeably emotional Leah, armband in hand, and every pass of the ball earned her rapturous applause. 10 minutes later, another memorable moment as Kim Little, out through injury since December, made her 300th appearance for the club, with the Scottish midfield maestro becoming only the 6th Arsenal player to ever reach such a milestone. Williamson wasted no time at all in reminding the world just what she can do. A delicious ball over the top found fellow Lioness Beth Mead, who volleyed home brilliantly for 5-0. 6 minutes from time, the 6-0 victory was wrapped up as Stina Blackstenius converted from close range to claim her first Gunners hat-trick. Quite the night. Welcome, Sarah. We are delighted to confirm the signing of French goalkeeper Sarah Bouhadi in a short-term deal. Sarah joins us as a free agent, having spent the 2022-23 season at Paris Saint-Germain. Beginning her senior career with Clairefontaine in 2002, she moved to Toulouse and then Juvisy before joining Olympique Lyonnais in 2009. Over 13 success-filled years in Lyon, she helped the French giants win 11 league titles, 8 French Cups and 8 UEFA Women's Champion Leagues, most recently in 2022. At international level, Sarah has won 149 caps for France, winning the She Believes Cup in 2017. Recognised as the best goalkeeper in the world on 4 occasions by the International Federation of Football History and Statistics, she was also named UEFA Champions League Goalkeeper of the Season in 2019-20 and the FIFA Best Women's Goalkeeper in 2020. I'm delighted to be joining Arsenal and to become a part of this great club, said our new number 86. Arsenal has so much history across both the men's and women's teams, and I've always admired the club. I'm excited to get the opportunity to play in a league that is going from strength to strength, and I want to bring my experience to help the rest of the squad. I can't wait to get started. Lionesses lie in wait. Following the Reading victory and topping Group D, we have been drawn away to London City Lionesses in the quarter-finals of the FA Women's Continental Tyres League Cup. The Lionesses finished on top of a group that included Crystal Palace, Lewes and Watford. The tie will take place on Wednesday, February the 7th at Prince's Park, Dartford, and kicks off at 7 p.m. It will be a chance to reacquaint ourselves with two great names from Arsenal's recent history, striker Dan Carter and defender Emma Mukandi, formerly Mitchell, both of whom played well over 100 games for the Gunners.
Goalkeeper Hermione Cull and midfielder Resha Littlejohn were also both on the Gunners' books previously. We are the reigning Conti Cup champions, having lifted the trophy back in March 2023 with a 3-1 win over Chelsea. We are also the most successful team in the competition's history, with 6 titles. Spurs details confirmed. The fixture details for Round 15 of the Barclays Women's Super League have now been confirmed. Our Round 15 game against Tottenham Hotspur will take place on Sunday, March the 3rd, with a 12:30 p.m. kickoff. We'll take on Spurs at the Emirates Stadium, our 4th time this season playing in N5. Tickets for our home game are on sale, with over 38,000 tickets already sold at time of going to print. Supporters can access tickets via arsenal.com.
Visitors, Liverpool. Today's visitors, formed 1892. Stadium, Anfield, capacity 57,332. Chairman, Tom Werner. Honours, league champions 19 times. Second tier champions 4 times. FA Cup winners 8 times. League Cup winners 9 times. Community Shield 16 times. European Cup stroke Champions League 6 times. UEFA Cup stroke Europa League 4 times. UEFA Super Cup 4 times. 2022/23 POTY. Alison Becker. Most appearances, Ian Callaghan, 857, 1959-1978. Most goals, Ian Rush, 346, 1980-1996. Famous fans, Daniel Craig, actor, John Bishop, comedian, Liam Neeson, actor, Dr. Dre, rapper, Elvis Costello, singer. Top of the Premier League and still fighting on 3 other fronts, the FA Cup, Carabao Cup and UEFA Europa League. Liverpool are on course for a tremendous climax to the 9-year reign of manager Jurgen Klopp, who announced a week last Friday that this would be his final season in charge at Anfield. The German status as one of Liverpool's all-time great managers is already secure, but he would be an even more revered figure on Merseyside if he were to bow out with another cluster of silverware to add to the trophies he has already won, 7 in total, all in different competitions. The UEFA Champions League, Premier League, FA Cup, Carabao Cup, FIFA Club World Cup, UEFA Super Cup and Community Shield. Liverpool's only Premier League title came 4 seasons ago, since when they have had to endure a hat-trick of triumphs for Manchester City. Last season was disappointing as the Merseysiders could manage only 5th place, missing out on Champions League qualification for the first time since 2015/16, the season in which Klopp arrived as manager in October to replace Brendan Rodgers. While Manchester City are fancied by many as favourites to reign again at the end of this season, it has been an extraordinary Premier League campaign so far by Liverpool, who have shrugged off a number of injuries to key players and lost just once all season, and that in highly controversial fashion at Tottenham in late September, 2-1. The Reds drew 3 successive away fixtures in the league after that reverse against Spurs, but they have been imperious on the road since the end of November, beating Sheffield United 2-0, Crystal Palace 2-1 and Burnley 2-0, as well as an informed Bournemouth side 4-0 on their most recent outing last month. And of course, they also won 2-0 here at Emirates Stadium on January 7th to knock Arsenal out of the FA Cup. They are now through to the 5th round of that competition, at home to Watford or Southampton, having beaten Norwich 5-2 at Anfield last Sunday, and will face Chelsea in the Carabao Cup final at Wembley in 3 weeks' time, before returning to Europa League action in March, when they will hope that the quadruple is still up for grabs. Jurgen Klopp, manager, born 16th of June 1967, Stuttgart, Germany. Previously Mainz 2001-2008, Borussia Dortmund 2008-2015. Set to depart Liverpool at the end of the season, Jürgen will undoubtedly prove a tough act to follow. Since he arrived at Anfield in October 2015, after a superb seven-year spell in his German homeland with Borussia Dortmund, he has confirmed himself as one of the world's most accomplished managers, steering the Reds to 2018-19 UEFA Champions League glory, the club's maiden Premier League triumph in the following campaign, when the Merseysiders also won the UEFA Super Cup, the FIFA Club World Cup, and the 2021-22 Carabao Cup-FA Cup double. More silverware looks a distinct possibility before he takes his leave this summer. Number 1. Alisson, goalkeeper. Born Novo Hamburgo, Brazil, 2nd of October 1992. Previously, Internacional, Roma. Alisson cost £66.8 million from Roma in 2018, and the 31-year-old 63-cap Brazil international has proved to be a sound investment, resolving a previous problem position for the Merseysiders with a succession of world-class performances. His contributions to the club's Champions League and Premier League triumphs have already assured him eternal recognition as a Liverpool goalkeeping great. Number 66. Trent Alexander-Arnold, right back. Born Liverpool, 7th of October 1998. Previously, none. Liverpool-born and bred, Trent has progressed from the club's academy to become a formidable attacking right-back, though there appears to be a future for him in central midfield, both for Liverpool and England, for whom he has won 23 caps but never been a regular starter. Renowned for his crosses and free kicks, the 25-year-old recently returned from a knee injury that sidelined him for most of January. Number 5. Ibrahima Konate, centre-back. Born Paris, France, 25th of May 1999. Previously, Sochaux, RB Leipzig. With Joel Matip ruled out for the season, Frenchman Ibrahima looks set for an extended run in the centre of the Liverpool defence, alongside captain Virgil van Dijk. The 24-year-old joined the Reds in the summer of 2021 after four seasons of mixed fortunes with RB Leipzig. Tough and powerful, he made his senior debut for France in June 2022 and was a member of the squad that reached the 2022 World Cup final. Number 26. Andy Robertson, left back. Born Glasgow, 11th of March 1994. Previously, Queen's Park, Dundee United, Hull. A key contributor to Liverpool's triumphs during Jürgen Klopp's reign, with his pacey sorties down the left and inch-perfect crosses, the former Hull City fullback was appointed as captain of Scotland in 2018 and skippered his country at Euro 2020, a role he is set to repeat at this summer's finals in Germany. He made a welcome return to action recently after a three-month absence with a shoulder injury. Number 8. Dominic Szoboszlai, centre midfield. Born Székesfehérvár, Hungary, 25th of October 2000. Previously, Liefering, Salzburg, Leipzig. Signed from RB Leipzig last summer, Dominic has proved a valuable addition to Liverpool's new-look midfield, despite missing a number of matches last month with a hamstring injury. Hailed as the great hope of Hungarian football, he missed Euro 2020 through injury, but played every minute as captain of his country's successful Euro 2024 qualifying campaign, scoring four goals. Number 10. Alexis McAllister, centre midfield. Born Santa Rosa, Argentina, 24th of December 1998. Previously, Argentinos Juniors, Boca Juniors, Loan, Brighton. Alexis penned a five-year contract with Liverpool last summer after an impressive 2022-23 campaign with Brighton, in which he netted 12 goals to become the club's top scorer. In the midst of it, the skillful midfielder also became a world champion with Argentina in Qatar, where he started six matches, including the final, and scored one goal. He missed most of this December with a knee injury. Number 18. Cody Gakpo, centre-forward, born Eindhoven, Netherlands, 7th of May, 1999. Previously, PSV Eindhoven. Netherlands international Cody signed for Liverpool from PSV Eindhoven in January last year on the back of a terrific World Cup, where he scored in all three group games against Senegal, Ecuador and Qatar. A pacey and versatile forward, he has fluctuated between the starting 11 and the subs bench for the Reds, and scored his 10th Premier League goal in a 4-2 win against Newcastle on New Year's Day. Number 7, Luis Diaz, left wing, born Barrancas, Colombia, 13th of January, 1997. Previously, Barranquilla, Atletico Junior, Porto. Luis arrived at Anfield on a 5-year contract in January 2022, midway through a season in which his club Porto, for whom he scored 41 goals in 125 matches, went on to win the Portuguese title. A tricky forward with a deceptive burst of pace, he has endeared himself to the Kop with his energy and industry. The 27-year-old has won 45 caps for Colombia, scoring 11 goals. 2023/2024 Stat Pack, Premier League. Match facts and total cards. Arsenal. Arsenal won this exact fixture 3-2 last season, last beating Liverpool at home in consecutive Premier League campaigns in 2013/14 and 2014/15. Yellow cards, 30. Red cards, 2. Liverpool. Liverpool have scored in each of their last 16 Premier League games against Arsenal since a goalless draw in August 2015. Yellow cards, 38. Red cards, 4. Goals, Arsenal, 42. Liverpool, 47. Expected goals, Arsenal, 40.5. Liverpool, 46.5. Goals conceded, Arsenal, 20. Liverpool, 18. Expected goals against, Arsenal, 17. Liverpool, 24.2. Clean sheets, Arsenal, 8. Liverpool, 8. Shots, Arsenal, 346. Liverpool, 394. Average possession, Arsenal, 60.6%. Liverpool, 60%. Shot conversion rate, Arsenal, 12.1%. Liverpool, 11.9%. Points gained after trailing, Arsenal, 8. Liverpool, 19. Points dropped after leading, Arsenal, 9. Liverpool, 4. Goal times, Arsenal, 0-15 minutes, scored 5, conceded 4. 16-30 minutes, scored 6, conceded 4. 31-45 minutes, scored 5, conceded 1. 46-60 minutes, scored 9, conceded 7. 61-75 minutes, scored 4, conceded 1. 76-90 minutes, scored 13, conceded 3. Liverpool, 0-15 minutes, scored 2, conceded 3. 16-30 minutes, scored 6, conceded 4. 31-45 minutes, scored 9, conceded 4. 46-60 minutes, scored 5, conceded 2. 61-75 minutes, scored 6, conceded 0. 76-90 minutes, scored 19, conceded 5. Data excludes games played after January 29th. Powered by EA Sports. Premier League Opta official data. Scouting report. Text Adrian Clark. Tactics. In our previous two meetings with Liverpool this winter, the use of long diagonal passes was a tactical ploy that worked well for Jurgen Klopp's side. Two of their three goals scored against us stemmed from lengthy cross-field passes. Based on that success, Liverpool will almost certainly try and test our fullbacks by switching their points of attack in this manner once again at Emirates Stadium. From their traditional 4-3-3 base, Virgil van Dijk and Trent Alexander-Arnold are experts in this field. But the Reds have other talented players who may look to hit those balls over distance too. To combat this approach, Mikel Arteta may encourage our players to apply as much pressure as they can to the man in possession. If we press with conviction, it may curb the quality of those diagonals they aim towards the flanks. Positionally, our fullbacks and wingers must also be fully switched on. Style of play. Liverpool had less than 50% possession in their 2-0 FA Cup victory in North London, so it will not be a surprise if they adopt a similar strategy this afternoon. While they are more than capable of controlling matches through sustained periods of pressure, it does also suit them to pounce via quick transitions. Boasting a pacey front three who are all interchangeable with one another, Klopp's side are tailor-made to strike hard and fast from counter-attacks and turnovers. However this tactical battle develops, you always know the tempo of matches between Arsenal and Liverpool will be fierce. Our opponents today love to play slick, vertical football at speed. Strengths. The leaders have strengths all over the pitch. The defensive platform laid by Alisson and Van Dijk offers tremendous security. The technical prowess of Dominic Szoboszlai and Alexander-Arnold is a joy to watch, and in attack they boast variety and potency. One unsung trait has been the power Liverpool has shown in the second half of games this season, wearing opponents down in merciless fashion. They have finished matches exceptionally well, scoring a glut of late goals. Klopp's men have amassed 19 goals from the 76th minute onwards, which is comfortably the best record in the division. They have also conceded just 7 goals after half-time. Weaknesses. The Reds can be slow starters, especially on their travels. Remarkably, the table toppers have conceded the opening goal in 7 of their 11 away fixtures to date, which outlines the notion that early on in games is the best chance to catch Liverpool cold. They recovered well from 1-0 down to draw with us at Anfield, and during a frantic first half in the FA Cup third round tie, they also rode their luck when conceding 13 chances to us before the interval. Liverpool's powers of recovery are strong though, losing just once in 9 matches when they went 1-0 down. Key man. In all competitions, Darwin Núñez has scored 11 goals and made 10 assists for Liverpool this season. The Uruguayan is a tremendously hard-working forward and his running power has a habit of creating chaos among opposition defences. While his preferred position is down the middle as centre-forward, the 24-year-old can be equally as effective as a wide attacker too. He was outstanding on the left wing during the second half of Liverpool's 2-0 win last month and is just as comfortable operating down the right. Núñez will miss opportunities and missed a penalty on Wednesday, but he consistently makes things happen at the top end of the pitch. Wherever he is used by Klopp this afternoon, Liverpool's speedy number 9 is sure to ask questions of his markers.
Match action. Premier League, Saturday, January 20th, 2024, 12:30 p.m. Emirates Stadium. Arsenal 5, Crystal Palace 0. Key moments. 11 minutes, Gabriel rises highest to head in Rice's corner. 37, Gabriel's header from a corner goes in off Henderson. 59, Trossard finishes a rapid counter-attack. 90, Martinelli scores into the corner to make it 4-0. 90, Martinelli adds a carbon copy goal 90 seconds later. Match facts. This is our joint biggest victory in a Premier League London derby, alongside our 5-0 win against Wimbledon back in April 1998. Since the start of the 2020-21 season, Gabriel has scored 13 Premier League goals, at least 4 more than any other defender during this period. We have scored the most headed goals, 11, and the most goals from corners, 10, in the Premier League this season. Quotes, Leandro Trossard. I enjoyed that, especially how we scored the first goals on set pieces. We work on them a lot, and then it's really nice when we pull it off on the pitch. It got us going into the game as well, so it's a really nice win for us.
Match Match Action. Premier League, Tuesday, January 30th, 2024, 7:30 PM, City Ground. Nottingham Forest 1, Awoniyi 89, assist Montiel. Arsenal 2, Jesus 65, assist Zinchenko. Saka 72, assist Jesus. Match stats. Expected goals, NFFC 0.47, AFC 1.17. Shots, NFFC 9, AFC 19. Shots on target, NFFC 3, AFC 3. Hit woodwork, NFFC 0, AFC 1. Possession, NFFC 27%, AFC 73%. Completed passes, NFFC 195, AFC 676. Corners, NFFC 2, AFC 11. Tackles 1, NFFC 7, AFC 8. Offsides, NFFC 1, AFC 3. Yellow cards, NFFC 0, AFC 1. Red cards, NFFC 0, AFC 0. Key moments, 57th minute, Jesus hits the post following a great move. 65th minute, Jesus squeezes his low shot inside the near post from a tight angle. 72nd minute, Saka drills home the second. 89th minute, Iwoniyi scores a late consolation. Match facts. We have now won 6 of our last 7 Premier League meetings with Nottingham Forest. Gabriel Jesus has now scored against 29 of the 31 sides he has played against in the Premier League. Gabriel Jesus has never been on the losing side when scoring in a Premier League fixture, 60 matches. Quotes, Gabriel Jesus, "It's not easy coming here to play against them. They have a good team. The crowd is amazing, crazy. They push the team a lot, and when they scored a goal in the last 4 minutes, the crowd went crazy and they pushed them. It's not easy, this part, but we controlled the game. We created a lot and won the game. That's the most important thing."
Teams. For Arsenal, manager Mikel Arteta. Shirt, red with white sleeves. Shorts, white. Socks, white. 1. Aaron Ramsdale, goalkeeper. 2. William Saliba. 4. Ben White. 5. Thomas Partey. 6. Gabriel Magalhães. 7. Bukayo Saka. 8. Martin Odegaard. 9. Gabriel Jesus. 10. Emile Smith-Rowe. 11. Gabriel Martinelli. 12. Jurrien Timber. 14. Eddie Nketiah. 15. Jakub Kiwior. 17. Cedric Soares. 18. Takahiro Tomiyasu. 19. Leandro Trossard. 20. Jorginho. 21. Fabio Vieira. 22. David Raya, goalkeeper. 24. Reece Nelson. 25. Mohamed Elneny. 29. Kai Havertz. 31. Karl Heine, goalkeeper. 35. Alexander Zinchenko. 41. Declan Rice. 71. Charles Sago Jr. For Liverpool, manager Jurgen Klopp. Shirt, purple. Shorts, purple. Socks, purple. 1. Alisson Becker, goalkeeper. 2. Joe Gomez. 3. Wataru Endo. 4. Virgil van Dijk. 5. Ibrahima Konate. 6. Thiago Alcantara. 7. Luis Diaz. 8. Dominic Szoboszlai. 9. Darwin Nunez. 10. Alexis McAllister. 11. Mohamed Salah. 13. Adrian, goalkeeper. 17. Curtis Jones. 18. Cody Gakpo. 19. Harvey Elliott. 20. Diogo Jota. 21. Kostas Tsimikas. 26. Andy Robertson. 32. Joel Matip. 38. Ryan Gravenberch. 42. Bobby Clark. 43. Stefan Bacetic. 45. Marcelo Pitaluga, goalkeeper. 50. Ben Doak. 62. Calmin Kelleher, goalkeeper. 66. Trent Alexander-Arnold. 78. Jarrell Kwanzaa. 84. Connor Bradley. Referee: Anthony Taylor. Assistant referees: Gary Beswick, Adam Nunn. Fourth official: Craig Pawson. VAR official: David Coote. Additional VAR official: Tim Wood. Today's other fixtures: all 2 p.m. Chelsea versus Wolverhampton Wanderers, Bournemouth versus Nottingham Forest, Manchester United versus West Ham United. No room for racism. The Arsenal Foundation, helping young people fulfil their potential through education and sport.
Get the beers in. Camden Town Brewery, official beer partner of Arsenal FC.
Why ask the barrister if you can be the barrister? Lavazza coffee machine from £1. Discover more at lavazza.co.uk.
Premier League. Premier League. Premier League. The greatest show on earth. Greatest show on earth. Sky Sports. Sky Sports. Sky Sports.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.